This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode, The Ocean and Us. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Seaweed farming, specifically growing kelp, is having a bit of a moment right now.
Kelp is the new kale.
You know what? Kelp is the new kale.
They make kelp the new kale.
And really, kelp is the new kale. Kelp.
Seaweed fans say it can nourish us while also reducing the effects of climate change. Can kelp save the day? Alan Yu checked it out.
Rob Busher is making lunch in his apartment. That involves several different types of seaweed.
You know, I grew up eating Japanese food. My great-grandparents immigrated from Japan in the 1920s.
He rinses some dark green bits of hijiki seaweed for a salad. He puts slices of wakame seaweed into a miso soup. And he cuts strips of dried, crisp seaweed on top of cold soba noodles.
All right, and we're good to go.
Seaweed is a major part of Japanese cuisine. The varieties that Rob uses are imported from Japan. But seaweed farmers in the U.S. want to grow more of it here, and they say it should be a bigger part of our diets. Earlier this year, I got on a boat to check it out. I went to a Thimble Island ocean farm off the coast of Connecticut. They grow seaweed and oysters.
Who gets to go boating in January on Long Island Sound except for us? Who is that lucky?
Ron Goutreau is giving me a tour. His official title is Senior Farmer Trainer. He's been tending to this underwater farm for years. They lease a swath of ocean from the town. On the surface, all you see are buoys and ropes.
This is an obstacle course of ropes and things to get your propeller caught in.
He cranks a handle, lifting a rope out of the water, and you see a green curtain of kelp hanging down. Kelp looks a little bit like green lasagna noodles with curly edges. Farm manager Jill Pagnatero explains it pretty much grows by itself. No fertilizer or human input needed. She says all you need is a boat, 20 acres, and $20,000.
That in itself makes it accessible for people to be able to do. It's much less expensive than trying to start a land farm.
The seaweed takes nutrients like nitrogen compounds from the water, effectively cleaning the ocean. It soaks up carbon dioxide, which slows down climate change. The seaweed is food for humans and also home for shrimp and tiny fish. We pull one up with the rest of the haul.
This is a tautog, right?
Yeah. Is it still alive? Or?
Yeah.
Do you know
it's jumping.
It's wiggling in my hands.
The seaweed also grows alongside scallops and oysters.
So that's a bunch of oysters that are harvest size in a bag.
For an extra bonus, the oysters and seaweed can absorb some of the energy from storm surges and protect people living along the coast. That'll become more of a problem as sea levels rise. This farm is also a floating classroom for farmers who want to get into the seaweed business. And there's a lot of interest in this. Back on land, I catch up with Bren Smith.
The momentum's been unbelievable. Again, we have requests to start farms in every coastal state in North America, 20 countries around the world.
He's one of the founders of this farm and a leading advocate for this kind of farming, where it's a win-win for humans and the ocean. Bren calls it restorative ocean farming and has done a lot of work to spread the word about it. He formed a nonprofit called Green Wave to promote restorative ocean farming. Now there are farms in Connecticut, Maine, and Massachusetts.
We're growing and people are eating it. And this isn't like a cute little Brooklyn bee farm project, right? Creating little nice little bottles of honey at the farmer's market. Like there are hundreds of thousands of pounds being produced and sold at this point.
In fact, growing seaweed has become perhaps too popular.
The idea sort of took off before all the practical challenges can be addressed.
That's Anushka Concepcion, an assistant extension educator with the Connecticut Sea Grant. Basically, she works with seafood producers and researchers and answers questions about the latest technology and trends. She says growing seaweed is a great idea. It's cheap, slows climate change, feeds people, but the problem is we need more people to buy it.
Farmers are finding it difficult now just to get rid of their seaweed. They can't get rid of it.
She says usually the seafood business works like this. Oysters and clams are sold right off a boat to a dealer who sells them to restaurants.
Dealers are not buying seaweed yet because there's no established market on their end.
I tried the kelp. It's a little chewy when it's raw and fresh off the line. It can be used as a pasta substitute, sautéed with butter and mushrooms, or ground into powder to use as seasoning. But it's just not a mainstream food yet. And there's another problem, processing facilities. Here's Brent Smith again.
Kelp, for example, which only has a shelf life of like a half hour, and getting it out of the water and blanched within very quickly to stabilize it, and that's just expensive.
It's fine to do this on a small scale, but once you get more and more farmers growing kelp, you need big buildings with giant tubs of hot water and freezers to process it and keep it safe to eat. Brent says Connecticut doesn't have those yet, so if a lot more people start growing more seaweed, that's a problem. Maine does have some of that infrastructure built out, just because they have a longer history of harvesting seaweed. Brent is one of the biggest seaweed advocates in the US, and even he acknowledges it's time to deal with growing pains.
In a way, expectations have been set way too high. This is an exciting, scalable, replicable thing that can be a true climate solution, but it's going to be really hard work.
He does disagree with Anushka slightly.
So it's not about growing sort of slow and small, because we only have 30 years to address the climate crisis, right? That would have been great in the 1950s.
He says climate change is such a big issue, and to make this a reality, we need all hands on deck.
That means mobilizing massive amounts of capital. It means developing new skills underwater. It means, like, you know, developing a new generation of ocean farming scientists and economists and policymakers.
And people have to develop an appetite for kelp. Brent says quite a lot of farmers have gotten the taste for kelp, but they need chefs and consumers to catch on.